Further restrictions in the Chinese capital, live from London. This is the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service. I'm Sasha Twining, in for Victoria Craig. Hello, good morning. Authorities in Beijing have started to ramp up their response to cases of coronavirus. School children are learning from home and apartment blocks, shopping malls and cinemas and gyms are being sealed off in some areas. Liang Wanyan is the head of the National Health Commission's COVID-19 response team.
China's COVID response is facing the most severe test after the efforts in Wuhan. We have never been hesitant in adhering to the dynamic zero COVID policy, and we have mobilized forces in testing, epidemiological studies, transferring in isolation and treatment in the shortest possible time to curb the spread of the virus.
The BBC's Steve McDonnell is in Beijing for us.
To go into the building I'm in right now, where the BBC Beijing Bureau is, you need to show that you've done a COVID test over the last 48 hours. If they keep this up, it means we're all going to have to do a test, what, every second day, essentially, to go to work. One of the reasons they're seemingly trying to do everything they can to avoid a complete citywide shutdown.
And Stephen, what about the impact that this is having on the economy?
While you don't get public criticism of the government from business here, a sort of heavy hitter in the private equity market, Shan Wei Jian, he gave a sort of private briefing to some clients, and the Financial Times has been able to get hold of a recording of this. In this recording, spoke about a deep economic crisis here, which he's blaming on these draconian, his word, draconian COVID prevention measures. He said the economy is in the worst shape it's been for 30 years. So when you get these, you know, senior business people speaking, in this case, what he thought was a private discussion, it seems they're giving a very frank and quite damning assessment of the impacts of this ongoing zero COVID approach to the Chinese economy.
And is there any suggestion that when you do hear comments like that, authorities may start to change their approach? Because what you are describing in Beijing is a very different approach to what we have seen in Shanghai.
Not officially. We're not having the slightest bit of an indication that the government's going to budge one bit on its approach. In fact, there was another press conference today. Health officials once more said there's no surrender to COVID. We're not backing down on the zero COVID approach. And they use all this kind of language to do with, you know, defeating this type of stuff. And some scientists have been critical of this type of language because, I think most professors in the world, most doctors realize it's here to stay. It's going to keep changing. Vaccines keep changing. How we take it on will keep changing. But you can't stop it. There's no victory over COVID.
The BBC's Stephen McDonnell in Beijing. Thank you very much.
Good to talk to you.
Well, Asian markets have risen despite the Beijing restrictions. They're driven by tech stocks and hopes there could be a settlement of an audit dispute, which could impact on Chinese firms listing in the States. Now, yesterday we had US economic data. Today, the turn of Europe, and Eurozone growth has slowed to 0.2% in the first quarter. Let's talk about baby milk formula now, because the World Health Organization and UNICEF have claimed some producers are using unethical social media marketing practices, gaining data from apps and forums to send parents personalised promotions. The BBC's Imogen Folkes has more.
These tactics are, the WHO says, a blatant violation of a 40-year-old international agreement designed to protect new mothers from aggressive marketing. They're reaching millions of women, three times more than those reached by information about breastfeeding, driving up sales of formula milk and dissuading mothers from breastfeeding exclusively, which health experts say is best for the first 6 months of life. Such practices should have been ended decades ago, the new report says, and there's no excuse for them to continue.
Imogen Folkes there. European governments and energy companies are under pressure to confirm how they intend to pay for their Russian gas contracts after Moscow cut off Poland and Bulgaria for refusing to pay in the Russian currency. The European Commission has warned that using rubles could be a breach of sanctions placed on Russia for the invasion of Ukraine. EU energy ministers meet next week in an attempt to clarify the situation. In Ukraine itself, businesses are finding ways to survive in a vastly changed world. Some, like the tattoo industry, are getting an unexpected boost, as the BBC's Phoebe Hobson has been finding out.
Braced for hours of pain, Nazar Bilikivsky has chosen a symbol of freedom, defiance and democracy for his new tattoo design. The large image of a muscular Cossack warrior will adorn his upper arm in support of his brother fighting on the front line against the Russians.
I'm going to send a picture of this tattoo to my brother to reassure him.
He's not the only one. This dimly lit tattoo studio in central Lviv, equipped with spotlights and benches, is now filled with troops wanting to ink Ukrainian national pride on their bodies. All other designs have been replaced by symbols of war. Guns, Molotov cocktails, and Ukraine's coat of arms with flashes of bright blue and yellow. Zana Anshukova is the studio manager. She's seen many men come here before heading to the front line.
Servicemen come and say, I want to get a tattoo because they're sending me to Kharkiv. I don't see fear in their eyes. But we know that we might never see them again because so many young boys die there.
To show support for the soldiers, the studio is donating 30% of its profits to the army and has even sent mobile tattoo studios to the trenches. The war has changed everything, and even those who never thought they would are lining up for tattoos. 29-year-old Taras was a white-collar worker before the invasion. He's now joining the territorial forces.
Everyone wants to remember what we are going through. Getting a tattoo, writing a poem or a song are all the ways of expressing emotions.
A round of applause for the careful needlework, and Taras emerges smiling at the flag on his forearm. The war might eventually end, but the surge in demand for patriotic tattoos is a reminder that some changes will last a lifetime.
Phoebe Hobson there. And don't forget to subscribe to our podcast. In London, I'm Sasha Twining with the Marketplace Morning Report from the BBC World Service.
The world can be a confusing place for kids, and finding the words to explain it all can be tricky too. Introducing Million Bazillion, a Webby-winning podcast from Marketplace that takes your kids on exciting adventures to answer the awkward and complex questions they have about money. Each week, we tackle hard-hitting inquiries from kid listeners like,
what is a college account and how does it work?
I want to know what unions are and what they are for.
Why does the U.S. have so much gold in Fort Knox and what do they use it for?
Help your kids understand how money fits into the world around us. Listen to Million Bazillion wherever you get your podcasts.